Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together. And now, Lord, as we open your word and come to this time, I pray that you would speak. Lord, that I'd be moved out of the way, that Christ would be shown forth in all his precious glory and beauty. Father, you're so worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning looking at just a small portion of a well-known story about Abraham. And I'm not specifically going to get into some of the later part of the story that we often think about or talk about a bit this morning, because that's not the part that I'm trying to look at here. But I want to start in Genesis chapter 18. And this is a point in the life of Abraham where God has already given him some pretty special and great promises. He's already had some very special times with the Lord. God's given him a promise of a son, and that didn't seem very possible or plausible. So he and Sarah end up working this little thing out where he goes into Sarah's servant girl, Hagar. They have a little boy, and God says, no, that's not what I was talking about. That's not the promised son. And here in chapter 18, I want to look at something that happened very special in Abraham's life. Beginning with verse 1, Genesis chapter 18, it says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So we read how Abraham ran, and he killed a calf. He prepares that. He tells Sarah, hey, make some bread. They prepare this whole feast, and he brings it out and sets it before them. And this is the time when God then confirms more specific details of the promise of this son that is to come. He says, next year, about this time, is when it's going to happen. He's been waiting now for several years since this promise has been made. He's been sojourning, he's been wandering, he's been faithfully serving and following the Lord to the best of his ability. But things have been kind of quiet in a way for a little while in relation to the promises that God had made to him. And he's not getting any younger. And Sarah's not getting any younger. And they've tried some creative alternatives. That didn't work out. And now here we see God has come. And he's met with Abram in a very special way here. And he confirms some timing details when the promise is going to be fulfilled. They have some deep time of fellowship. And we know as they're going on towards Sodom that God then has a special time alone there with Abraham, and Abraham intercedes for Lot specifically. That's not the words he uses, but that's who he was thinking of, and God knew that. So we see here an interesting situation that is not an isolated incident. We see God here coming as though he would pass by Abraham. God could have walked right up to Abraham's door, said, "Hey, I'm here, let's talk." If God was simply trying to go to Sodom, well, God can just go to Sodom, right? He doesn't have to pass by Abraham's tent. There's not a particular place that he has to start from that he would have to travel to get to Sodom and would pass by Abraham's tent. No, God was specifically passing by Abraham that day to give Abraham the opportunity to run out and to invite him in and to have this special time of fellowship, to have these promises, details of the promises that he's already made being fulfilled, and these things that are now such a blessing to Abraham as he's spending this time with the Lord, and to give him the opportunity and to let him know what's about to happen and give him the opportunity to pray for and intercede for Lot. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, all-wise. He doesn't accidentally do anything. God didn't just happen to pass by Abraham this day. This was a specific appointment that God had. But God didn't come to him as direct as, "Hey, this is an opportunity to spend some time with me." It came as a situation that could easily have been overlooked as God was passing by. And this was an opportunity for Abraham to engage with him. We move on into the next chapter and we see when the angels get to Sodom in verse 19. It says, "There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, 'Behold, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way.' And they said, 'Nay, but we shall abide in the street all night.' And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Again, we see here these angels. What was the purpose they came there? They came there to see the city, right? But did God need to send angels to see the city to know what was going on? No, he already knew what was going on. Again, these were sent specifically, and they came specifically through that gate at that time as an opportunity for Lot. And Lot took that opportunity. And Lot says, "Come in." And he begged them to come in. And he pressed upon them greatly. He says, no, we'll just stay out here all night. That's fine. It's no big deal. No, he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in and entered into his house. And he made them a feast. And did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. They have now a time of fellowship. There's an opportunity for Lot to know what's about to happen, to try to bring his children along with him. There's an opportunity here that opens up for ultimately his physical salvation and that of any of his family who's willing to go with him, to go and to flee before Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed with fire and brimstone from heaven. But we see in both these circumstances and in other numerous passages through Scripture, we see the concept that God doesn't always come as, "Hey, I want to talk to you," grab you by the collar and hold you down and say, "Hey, let's talk." No, God often comes as though he would pass by and waits to see if you and I will respond. He waits to see if we will seize that opportunity and say, "Lord, come in. I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you." I want to learn from you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to serve you and bring an act of worship to you. We talked a while back about the lady, she's just called a Shunammite, that it says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it talks about, it says it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Again, she had an opportunity here to have God's presence in her home. She had the opportunity here for some fellowship with this man of God who was the closest representation available to her of God at the time, because the Spirit of God was mightily upon him, and she took it. She saw the opportunity and she seized it. Now, God directed Elisha to walk through there, but Elisha wasn't planning on stopping until she said, hey, come in and stop and be with me. And it turned into such a blessing for her and her family, right? God gave them a son, even though she was barren. God worked some incredible miracles for her and her family. She saw the moving of God's hand in a way that many, many people in the Old Testament didn't get the privilege and the opportunity to see and to experience. She had times of fellowship with this man of God who had a heavy, heavy portion of the Spirit of God upon him. And she spent time learning and drawing close and growing in her understanding and her faith in the Lord and her walk with God through this, it would appear. And all of that, again, it happened not because Elijah knocked on her door and said, hey, I want to come in and eat and tell you about God. But God offered this opportunity as he was passing by, and she took it. Brothers and sisters, we need to be aware and watching for these opportunities of God passing by in our lives. Many times God doesn't come in a loud thunderstorm and lightning and breaking the rocks and I've got something to say to you. But rather, he passes by close to see if we care, to see if we're looking for him, to see if we're awake, to see if our heart's desire is to spend time with him. And if we notice and we bring him in and we spend time with him in fellowship, there's always great blessings and special times of fellowship that flow from that. But it's interesting, in all of these situations that we've looked at so far, it wasn't presented as, hey, this is God passing by and I want to have fellowship with you. It was an opportunity. A simple, ordinary, everyday opportunity to love on someone, to invest in them, to care for them. And out of that came a special meeting with God and a blessing and a encouragement and help through faithful serving and loving others. There's opportunities that come along in our lives every day to pour into other lives. We don't always know it. We don't always recognize it. But it's oftentimes it's God giving us a chance to invite him in, to have deep times of fellowship with him. There's a little allegorical story told of a little shoemaker who, in a dream, God said, I'm going to come visit you tomorrow. He's all excited. He cleans his house. He gets everything ready. He's all excited for God to come and visit him. And some little knock at the door, and he runs and he opens it, and it's just the beggar asking, "Do you have any food?" So he gives the man some food. He sends him on his way. A little while later, there's another knock. He runs to the door. He's all excited. He opens it up. It's a little child who's cold, and he gives him a blanket or a coat or something like that, I think. And anyway, throughout the day, there's various people who stop by needing things, and he loves on them. He serves them. At the end of the day, he's sitting there all discouraged and sad. He's like, "Lord, you said you were going to stop by and see me, and you didn't come." It's like, "I came three times. I came three times, and all three times you were ready. And you were waiting. Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." When Jesus is talking to those in, when he's speaking about the separation of the sheep and the goats, he says, he tells the goats, "Go over there, because I came to you, you know, I was weak and I was hungry and I was naked and I was tired and you didn't care." I said, "When did we see it? See you weak or hungry or tired or naked or in prison?" And he says, "As much as you didn't do it unto these, you didn't do it to me." And he says the opposite to the sheep, right? To those who were faithful. He says, they say to him, "When did we see you in prison or hungry or thirsty or naked and ministered to you?" And he says, "In every time that you did it to everyone around you, you did it to me." So we see this set forth again and again throughout Scripture, that God comes many times with an opportunity for us to engage with Him on a deep, personal, spiritual level. But it comes in the form of maybe a stranger, someone in need. But we are called to be on the lookout for these situations when Christ would pass by. We see this after Christ's resurrection. And the disciples weren't 100% sure, all of them, what had happened. And they know he's not in the grave anymore, but they're not 100% sure what's happened yet. And we see in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, we see that there was two of the disciples. It says, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus that was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And guess what? This man is walking along the road near them, and they start talking, and they're all sad and gloomy. And he says, "Why are you so sad and gloomy? Well, are you a stranger? Do you not know what's been going on?" And they start telling him all their woes and how they thought he was, that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, and they were just so discouraged and so distraught, and now they're not sure what to think, and there's these odd little rumors about maybe he's risen from the dead, but they're not quite sure. And we read in verse 27, it says, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Man, what a discourse to get to sit in on. Jesus Christ himself pointing out from Moses and all the prophets, the prophecies pointing to himself, and pointing himself out throughout the entirety of the given scripture to that point. What an amazing privilege. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Where was Jesus headed? He wasn't headed anywhere. He came specifically to be with them, but he made as if he would go on further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They didn't know there was an opportunity there that day to get to walk with Jesus and have him explain everything about himself from the scriptures. But he made as though he would pass by. He came walking along that road, and they engaged him, and they spent time with him, and then they brought him in, and they took advantage of this opportunity, and there was a huge blessing. They shared a special time of communion with him. But again, it came as somebody passing by. It was an opportunity, a fleeting opportunity, for them to spend time with Christ himself, risen from the dead, and have him explain all these things that didn't make sense to them. But he didn't show up as, hey, I'm Jesus. Do you want to know everything from the Old Testament that points to me? Do you want to understand what's going on and how I had to do the things that I did in order to fulfill these prophecies? Do you want to see that all? Do you want to understand that all? Do you want me to explain that to you? No. He came with an opportunity as though he would pass by. And they took that opportunity. How many times through Scripture and in our own lives have we missed those opportunities? I would hate to know. I would hate to know the times I missed those opportunities. Last week we talked about staying a seeker of Christ, staying a seeker, continuing to be a seeker, to dig and to search and to pursue him, not to be content, not to become lackadaisical, not to be settled as though I've received enough and I'm good now, but to continue to stay hungry and thirsty and to continue to seek. And a huge part of that is to stay alert for these opportunities, to stay alert for when Christ is moving, when there's an opportunity to engage with him, when there's an opportunity to serve, to bless, to love, when there's an opportunity to draw close, to sit at his feet, to have communion with him, to run out, to call him in when he's passing by. Say, Lord, no, come this way. Come in and stay with me. We need to be on the lookout for times when God is passing by, special times of fellowship with him, special unexpected blessings. There's times when God would draw our attention, get us to pause for a moment, love on us with his goodness and his presence. But he doesn't push his way in. He passes by to give us the opportunity to reach out and pursue him, to follow him like Matthew when he passed by the tax collector's seat. Just said a simple phrase, said, follow me. He was passing by. He didn't stop and argue with Matthew. He didn't stop and spend a lot of time trying to convince him. He simply passed by and said, hey, follow me. And Matthew jumped up and followed him. And it was the best thing Matthew ever did. He passes by, as we see in the Song of Solomon, as the beloved passes by and calls out to the young bride-to-be. And she lingers and waits and says, oh, I'm already in bed. And then suddenly she realizes he's already gone. He passed on, and she goes out seeking him. He doesn't push his way. He doesn't push his way in, but he gives us opportunities. I want to read one more section in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34. This is so special. It says, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Was there more than one gate out of Jericho? No doubt. Did Jesus know they were there? Absolutely. But did he walk over there to them and say, hey, I'm here. Do you want your eyes opened? No, he passed by. He passed by, and it was an opportunity, and they took it. How many other blind men and lepers may have been sitting along the streets that day when Jesus passed by, who just said, oh, man, I wish he'd stop and see me. But they didn't do anything about it. These men realized Jesus is passing by. This is our opportunity. And they took it and they cried out. And even when those around them said, hey, calm down, settle down, they still kept crying out. And they said, no, Jesus is passing by and I'm going to engage with him. And this kind of desperation, brothers and sisters, should be in our hearts and in our actions. When we see opportunities and when we realize Christ is passing by, that we would stop and we would cry out and we would say, Christ, come in, spend time with me. I'm going to leave these things that are so unimportant in comparison, and I'm going to spend some time with you. God doesn't pass by us on accident. He passes by to give us a chance to reach out to him. He's all powerful, almighty. There's no limit to what he can do. He has the answer to every need you and I could ever have. You've got to reach out and call out as he's passing by. He passed by the tree where Zacchaeus was. He passed by where the little woman with an issue of blood was and had a chance. He passed by so many. He will pass by you and I. But will we be too busy? Will we miss it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you do pass by in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would be watching, that we would be waiting, that we would be ready. Lord, that we would take opportunities. Father, that we wouldn't be so caught up and wrapped up in our own thoughts, in our own little world, in our own little projects, that we miss those special, invaluable opportunities to engage with our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.